This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. Shane, you and I are both big fans of Simon Sinek. I guess that makes us Sinekites?
Sinekites? Sinekers? I don't know.
Yeah. And we talk about the infinite game a lot, but sometimes in a market the way our market is right now, you just need a win. And you want to know how to win right now. And the championship is way off, the long-term game, like it's out there, but sometimes you just need a win today.
It's interesting that you brought this up because I've been having this conversation with agents. I've been having this conversation internally. When the economy, the market, inflation is normal, when all these things are maybe what we think used to be normal, when we go back maybe 5 or 6 years and we think about things pre-COVID, and it was really easy to talk about infinite game. And it's really easy to talk about policy per customer ratios being above 2 or even higher, 2.5. Those are really easy conversations to get your head around. So I've been having conversations about this. Robbie and I are managing director for agent development. He was just giving me a little snippet just in the last few days about a new partner agent, a couple of guys that come over from State Farm and started a new agency together from scratch with us. And they're killing it like 6 months in, and they're doing this in a ridiculous market. And they're doing this with a portfolio of markets that's, if we think about it, go back 5 or 6 years ago, that portfolio looks a lot different for them starting out than a new agent that started in 2019, say. And so it's really absent of these big independent agency brands in a way. They're good carriers, but it's absent of those normal, traditional, large brands. And they're just doing really well. And Robbie made the comment, said, yeah, the only thing is they're a little heavy on the auto right now. And I'm like, that's okay. They're winning the game right now. They're bridging towards being able to be in a better position to play the infinite game. For me, being that champion of the Sinek conversation around playing the infinite game in business is that when you have a bunch of salespeople, you got to have finite games within the infinite game. And Sinek actually talks about that, but we forget about that. He talks about there's got to be some finite games as you go. You've got to have some wins as you go, and you've got to give your people opportunities for those wins, all while keeping this long-term, big picture goal in the forefront. That is the thing that resonated with me. Hey, it's okay. They're only running like a 1.6, 1.65 policy per customer ratio because they're a little heavy on the auto, because home's a little harder to write. But they're still killing it, and they're still going to not only survive, they're going to be really successful, and they're going to bridge the gap to get to the other side where they can play more and more of this infinite game strategy.
I had an agent a few years ago at our annual Integra Partner Agent Conference come to me, and he said, look, I love our conference. I love the networking opportunities. I love learning. I love the sessions. I love the panel discussions. He said, but we get to that point where you start giving out awards, and I just feel disheartened. I just know that I'm not in that place. And I see people around me are in that place, and I just get in my head a little bit after that. And what am I doing wrong? Sometimes we hear these stories of, yeah, the market's tough, but these guys are killing it, but I'm not killing it. So what's wrong with me?
This is why you need to go to events. This is why you need to learn. This is why you need to always be in developing mode. I am not a huge fan of these award things. We do them. We have agents that love them. It's really easy to be excited about them when you're in that sort of sphere of being successful in terms of the awards. Let me say this in parallel, what I feel like is a great example here. My daughter is a Division I college softball player, my youngest daughter, and she plays for the University of Kansas in the Big 12, and there are layers the college athletic realm. We see it on TV, basketball, football, baseball, women's sports, softball, basketball, all of volleyball. Volleyball has gotten really popular. We see it and we really don't get it. Until you get on the field or in person going and watching a game, it's hard to get your head around the elite level of play that exists. Just staying with college softball and staying within the Power Five versus the non-Power Five. So within Division One, there's probably three or four layers. There's low-level Division One. You've got mid-majors. You've got elite mid-majors. So that would be like your Louisiana Lafayettes, who are top 25, but they're not in a Power Five conference. And then you have Power Five conference teams that are at the bottom end of the conference. And you have Power Five conference teams that are at the top end of the conference. And then there is the top 10 programs across the country. So if you are a player on, say, a mid-major Division I program, you're really good. But there's going to be these people that get All-American status from OU, Oregon, Florida State, Texas. LSU. Does that mean that you're not good? No. And I see this within the spectrum of different athletes within a program like a Big 12 program. And then you start to understand that there's these layers. And this is one of the statements that I tell my daughter. Don't forget, you're one of about 240 female athletes that get to play in the Big 12 in the world. So when you start breaking down these elements and you understand that just because you didn't, quote, win the award doesn't mean you're not having success. But that's the problem. Comparison is the thief of joy. And what we're comparing ourselves to is we're comparing ourselves to the award winner. And maybe that award winner is at an elite status that you're not at, but that doesn't mean that you're not successful, you're not good, you're not capable, you're not winning. And that's a very close element to what the mental counseling that I have done with my daughter about understand that if you start comparing yourself across some of the girls that you played travel softball with who were high school All-Americans that are now dominating as a freshman at the University of Florida, they were dominating in travel ball at the age of 12. They're the Michael Jordans and Kobe Bryants of softball. And so when they went into their college freshman year in the SEC, guess what? They're dominating the juniors and seniors because they're super elite. You hit kind of a soapbox for me because it all centers down to a little bit of pride and a little bit of comparison is the thief of joy. We have to really watch ourselves on this.
You almost took on your dad voice there.
I almost did because it gets me fired up. I want you to compete with yourself. I want you to be the best version of you. I want you to get better tomorrow than you are today and so on. I don't want you to go, man, oh, Joe over there. Sally over there, man, they're writing $2 million a year in new business, and I'm writing $1 million a year in new business. Guess what? That $1 million a year in new business that you're writing that's not making you eligible to win the award is still elite, and you're not even recognizing that.
Right now in our market, if you're paying the light bill, if you're being able to go on vacation, if you're being able to survive and thrive in your bank account is growing, so many agents are, then you are winning today.
I had a conversation with an agent at a carrier conference in the last couple of weeks, and the first thing out of their mouth was negative, this market. To set the context stage here, I know them very well, so I can say it this way. And I'm like, I know, but is your bank account shrinking? And then it's, no, shut up. I hate that. I hate it when you say that. I hate it when that answer is the answer you give. And I'm like, so what's the problem? They're like, if you really want to get down to it, my age, I don't want to be working this hard. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. You're making more money, but you're working your butt off to make that money. And that wasn't supposed to be what it is. And that is understandable. And that is a fair, debatable argument. You're 20 years into the insurance industry and you're working harder than you've ever worked, but you're making more money than you've ever made. And so reconciling that was part of the conversation that I got into with this particular agent. That's a fair argument. The newer agents are finding themselves working harder, but really don't have this perspective of 10 years ago. And they're growing and they're doing well because the market's so disrupted that they're still getting opportunities. And if you're part of the right agent network and the portfolio is enough, then you're doing pretty good. And you don't even realize that things are terrible compared to 5 years ago, because you got no comparison to 5 years ago. And so we've got this either end of the scale kind of thing going on. The core of it is that we're tired and we're working hard and we didn't want to be working this hard in year 8, 12, 20, or whatever year it is. And we find that we're just having to do more work. That's frustrating. But what are we going to do about it? Other than gripe, what are we going to do about it? Other than roll up our sleeves. You can sell, you can get out, but what are you going to do that's this good of an industry that's this infinite game minded that gives you the same work-life equation? Is there something else out there? Because that's great. Sell and go. I haven't found it. I personally love it so much that I'm willing to work harder to make the same or more money to bridge this to the other side.
I love that you brought up this idea of I just don't want to work that hard. I remember several years ago when I came on board at Integra and was working with an agent, and he kept saying, I want to grow. I want to make more money. I want to do. And every other week, he and I would have this conversation and we would talk about ideas and things to do to grow his agency and things and ideas and marketing concepts and internal leadership ideas. And finally, one day we were talking and he said, the thing is, I've been doing this a while and I just don't want to work that hard. Through our conversations, I figured out I'm happy where I am. And I really don't want to work hard enough to grow in the way that I thought I did. And for a minute, I kind of thought I was a failure. And then I thought about it for several weeks. And then I was like, wait a minute. I helped him through this idea of I have to grow, I have to grow, I have to grow, to being happy with where he was. And so maybe what I did wasn't a failure. Maybe it was helping him through that realization instead of beating your head against a wall. And guess what? His agency is still successful. He's still making a good living. He's providing a good living for his family, but he's not in this constant state of stress of I have to grow.
That is a core thing that we should take away there. We have this thing that we have to grow, and not everybody is at that spot where they do have to grow, or the point shouldn't be to grow. That's the salesperson in us. That's our problem right now with the marketplace, is as carrier have capacities drying up and dried up, and we have problems getting new accounts placed, and that's what's driving us crazy. Yes, we've lost some clients, but we're retaining most because the whole market's crazy, and they might think they're going to go somewhere else, but then they come back to you. And so your retention's pretty good and your revenue's going is increasing. But we have this mental thing that we're not selling as much as we usually sell because of salespeople not being able to sell. We think we're failing, when in reality, we're may not be growing other than rate growth. We may not be growing policy count, client count. We're thinking the sky is falling, but that's because we have this mentality that if we're not growing, we're dying. And that's been said across the industry. If you're not growing, you're dying. That's not necessarily the case. The independent agency system has changed so much over the last 20 years. It's become so much more than just a sales organization and been so innovative. And that's a thing that we do need to grab a hold of, is that we should never be in this grow to grow mindset. That is definitely not an infinite game kind of thought. It's very short term. And maybe you need to grow to make yourself feel better. Maybe it's a short term win that we're talking about, but you don't have to just grow to grow. And matter of fact, the whole point should never be to grow for the sake of growth. The point should be to grow because you need to reach another level of scale, reach another level of revenue per employee. You need to increase your profit margins. You grow because you've made an investment. So you have expenses of building infrastructure of staff, and then you need to grow so that you hit the right profit margin so that your value of your company increases. That's a great reason to grow. But I'm at 3 million in premium and I want to grow to 5 million in premium. Fantastic. Why do you want to do that? I need you to be able to answer that question for yourself. And whatever the answer is probably good enough, but I don't want you to just say, I need to grow from 3 to 5 million. Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to grow? Those are things that we just skip over as salespeople. We think, you know what? I got to grow. I got to get bigger. There's a lot that goes into getting bigger. You have to develop management and processes and so many different things that you may not have as a solopreneur or a 2 to 3 person shop. There's a whole nother infrastructure element of cost that you have to think about if you want to grow.
How many times have you seen an agency go from 3 to 5 million and have profitability plummet?
Most of the time, upwards of 90%.
Okay, say that again for the people in the cheap seats.
Let's just call it every time. Sure, there are a few exceptions. And the few exceptions don't add to their expense. And that's where normally things are going awry. I know agents that went from 2 to 4 million and stayed a solopreneur by adding a couple of VAs, and they're very hands-on and they do what they do and they're making a ton of money. Most people that are in the 2 to 3 million range that try to go to 5 add the people in order to go to 5 or 6. And what they find is that they enter this world I call no man's land. Because they were making really good profit at 3 million in premium, but then they added all this administrative cost, people, and they went to 5 million and they're making less money than they were making at 3. Or maybe at best, they're making the same money and they have more responsibilities, potentially headaches, and they're busier personally as the CEO of this agency because it's just more. That's what we have to guard against. Now, I'm all for you pushing through to the other side of no man's land and growing on top of that and increasing your profit margins and being able to supply yourself with enough people or things, tools that doesn't create the stress in your life. And then you can make even more money than you were making at 3 million. And look, that number's different for everybody. That number may be 7, 8 million in premium. I don't know. It's different for different people. But how you go about this is really important because I'm looking at 3 or 4 agents in our agency network that are in that 4.3 to 4.5 million range in premium, and they're doing really well, but they really haven't added that infrastructure cost in order to make that happen in the traditional way. That's important. And if they go to 6 or 7 million, or they want to go there, they're going to have to add that. So the real question for them is, are they going to really be making more money and doing better all the way around, capacity, family life, whatever, if they go from 4 or 4.5 million to 6.5 million? Or are they going to hit that spot where I need a couple of supervisors? I need some more people. I need procedures that are better. I need all these things. That's the big question when people start to enter that spot.
To most people who are natural salespeople, everything you're saying is like nails on the chalkboard, which I don't know. Is that even a thing anymore since chalkboards don't exist? Does that saying just completely and totally date me?
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's like chewing on aluminum foil.
That's worse.
And so that's how every salesperson is feeling listening to what you just said. And there's a John Maxwell phrase that I'm probably paraphrasing when I say this, but he says, the more we grow, the more we know we need to grow. And so sometimes as salespeople, we need to take a nap on that idea of I've got to grow, because if you're already exhausted, if you're already at the point of I don't want to get out of bed today because I'm going to have to go into the office and run this agency that is in a situation that's not what I expected, maybe growth is what you're grabbing a hold of, or maybe your idea of growth the way it has always been is one of the reasons that you're exhausted.
That's right. There are models out there. It's called being a producer for an agency, where you can stay a salesperson. You can do just so. You can do whatever you want. Being an agency owner, you're going to have to at some point transition. You're going to have to transition from singular salesperson to agency business ownership. There is a difference. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to grow to the point of becoming, quote, the CEO of their business and get away from selling. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I am saying that back to the thing, I get depressed because people are winning these awards and I'm not. And this is where that comes from. Your salesperson first, and you're not making the transition, but you want something that requires you to make the transition, but you're not making the transition. That's the self-evaluation. And this still happens at the carrier level, whether you're part of an agency network or not. There's agents that are reaching a level that I'm like, wow, that's incredible. But I'm not really sure that I want to do what they've done to achieve that goal. I'm going to have to change our infrastructure. I'm going to have to consider taking on outside capital. I'm going to have to consider a board of directors. I'm going to have to be a different type of CEO in order to reach that level. I don't know that I want to do that. My own examples are the same as the examples of your agency, just this envy comparison thing that gets us in trouble. And we really don't understand that the people we're comparing ourselves to were orange and apples kind of thing. We're just not the same structure. And let me give you a little more information there to understand. So at a recent insurance carrier conference, that particular carrier still awards their agent of the year, and they do it by region. And the winner of one of these regions was an agency network like we run, much larger. And I started noticing as they were delivering these, announcing these and giving the profile, that they were talking about the annual written premium. They were talking about that agent's retention. And after the first two or three, I started noticing, okay, we're a lot bigger than that. We're a lot bigger than that. I started getting duped into this game of comparison myself. Pride started coming up to the surface, and it's $27 million in written premium, $34 million in written premium. And then all of a sudden, this one agent, it pops up on the screen, $900 million in annualized written premium. And then it hit me, that was that agency's written premium with that carrier. It wasn't the total written premium. It was the written premium with that carrier. And I had a good grief moment. And it was like, okay, wait a minute. And I went back to the first four agents that were announced and realized that was the written premium with that carrier. It wasn't their overall written premium. And it just started hitting me that, my gosh, the infrastructure that it takes. They're at $965 million with this carrier. They're probably at about $4 billion, roughly, in written premium as an agency organization. The amount of infrastructure and time and build out and investment and energy that it takes to build everything that is necessary to run a $4 billion insurance organization, agency broker organization, not company, is absolutely makes me exhausted. I'm one of the most intrinsically motivated people ever. I don't have to be motivated for anything, but that's exhausting. I'm not motivated by that. There's a lot of room for me to play as a CEO of an organization in the space that I'm in. That's a lot less than that. If I catch myself thinking I've got to try to be that person without thinking about everything else that goes with building what they've built, then I am comparing myself as an apple to an orange. It doesn't work. And that's what we are doing when we start down this comparison game and think that someone's being successful and I'm not being as successful. That's not true. That CEO may not be making any more money than I'm making. That's what I don't think people understand. They just don't understand. They automatically assume the bigger you are, the more you're making. And that is just not true.
I do want to clarify, we love growth. We love growth. We love profitability. We love helping agents be successful and grow and be profitable. So I don't want anything about this podcast to come across as we think growth is bad. This is not our mindset. We love growth, and we are in a place where we're growing. We are very blessed right now.
Our first quarter growth in 2024 is eclipsing our 2023 growth rate by 20%. So yes, we love growth. And this is the part of the show where Tanya tries to make sure that Shane doesn't take us off our rocker here. So she's right. She's right. 100% right. But it is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine that we do get into this comparison game. And it is societal. We do this everywhere. Their kid is better than my kid, or my kid's better than their kid, or my church is doing more outreach than their church. We have this sickness in society where this comparison game is eating us alive. And that's what keeps us from getting those wins in the right now. We struggle with the win right now because of the comparison game. We have to get out of that. We have to move beyond this comparison environment and understand that what we're doing is pretty good. My daughter's doing really well. She's one of 240 girls in the world playing on a softball roster in the Big 12. Is she an All-American candidate in 2024? No, she is not. Does that make her less? Absolutely not.
Did she steal a base last week? Absolutely.
Absolutely. She has a fantastic on-base percentage this year. One of her goals going into this year was to cut down her strikeouts. I'm going to jinx her on this, but she has not struck out this year. That's a huge right now win. Those are the kinds of things we need to be doing. That's the kind of thinking that we need to be doing.
I'm going to leave us today with this quote from the great John Wooden. Success is a peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best you are capable of becoming.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com.